I'm getting ready to go to the mayor of the 20th largest city in our country on the Mississippi River, known for blues, known for ribs, known for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, among other things. And I've been bragging about what Memphis is doing to try to deal with the problem of gun violence in their city. And it's something called Memphis Gun Down, and I'm privileged to have on our live line the mayor of the great city of Memphis, Mayor A.C. Wharton. Mayor, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Sure appreciate it. And don't forget the Memphis Grizzlies while you're.
I can't forget them.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
I can't forget, because y'all getting there.
Thank you. We're getting there. We'll be there next year.
You'll be there. See, you'll be our Pacers and the Grizzlies. There you go.
That's right.
How did Memphis Gun Down get started, Mayor?
Well, it's not an overnight, development. I started out as a public defender, so I had a pretty good handle on what was out there in the streets. So when I became mayor, we immediately began taking stock of everything that could conceivably be contributing to the high level, unacceptably high level of violence. We knew one thing, that there was no way in the world we could police our way out of it. They just kept coming, and we arrested, and they just kept coming. So finally we said, hey, time out. Let's dig a little deeper. Our police director, very progressive, started what he called a COPS program, community-oriented policing. And we got out of the state of denial. For the longest, we kept saying, oh, there are no gangs in Memphis, Tennessee. We're a big old quiet southern city. We were just in denial. We had to fess up, look in the mirror and say, hey, we do have gangs. And we took it from there. Again, starting from the premise that the police department cannot solve this alone.
Mm. So I understand that you were able to, you know, hook up some of that Bloomberg money and something that they were challenging cities to be innovative, and you guys came up with this Memphis Gun Down.
That's correct. That's one part of
okay.
it. It's much more our whole effort with respect to reducing gun violence among our young population, basically to hit it head on, male blacks ages 17 to 24. Mm-hmm. So we, oddly enough, and it's not a real mystery, you look at your numbers, you know who's doing what,
right.
You know where they're doing it, you know when they're doing it, and you know why they're doing it.
Mm.
And now we use that kind of information when we want to come up with arrest and prosecution strategies, but we sort of flipped the script and said, since we know who they are, where they are, why they're doing it, when they're doing it, why don't we take that to get ahead of it, and as opposed to waiting on the gangbangers to shoot somebody at 10:30 on Friday night in the housing project because of a drug deal gone bad, and they're both age 18 and 19. We know all of that. Hey, why don't we get in on the front end of it? And that's the philosophy that we're pursuing here. Not rocket science here at all.
Right.
Again, we had a Blue Crush program, which is nationally known,
mm-hmm.
but it was based on let's get the bad folks after they have done something.
Right.
We simply said, hey, wait, if it works to get them after they do something, doesn't it make common sense to make it work before they do something? And that's the philosophy.
We're talking with the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, 20th largest city in the country and growing fast, Mayor A.C. Wharton. How has the grassroots community embraced this initiative?
Oh, they with loving and wide open arms. We had our second Summer Night Lights program this past Friday. It's kind of like pop-up things. We just rolled into a community without a whole lot of advanced planning and all, and opened up the swimming pool late, bring in the trampolines and the jump gadgets, basketball, hot dogs, hamburgers, everything. We just hit a community. I was out at one community center Friday night. I'm sure there were at least 400 or 500 kids there. So the community has embraced it. This is still early for us, quite frankly. As opposed to just jumping out there and starting to do things, we studied and studied and studied for a while to make sure we were in tune with what the communities would want. As a matter of fact, one of the things that helps us more than anything, we've certainly focused on getting young folks involved in designing everything that we do, and then we get them out on social media. They can communicate much more effectively than we can. So the community, to answer your question, has accepted, and the more they find out about it, we think it will be universally accepted.
Mayor, what impressed me when I first heard about this and went to the website, memphisgundown.org, and I saw these videos from young people, the technical term is peer-to-peer communication, and quite bluntly, Mayor, I was impressed and embarrassed. I was impressed for you all in Memphis and embarrassed for my city that nobody here had thought of something so simple.
Well, just don't give up. And what we were really blessed with, we had the funds from the Bloomberg Foundation, and they come in and check with me every so often. They, meaning the folks who head up the team, but they've got so much room to breathe and be creative. This is why we have this program actually operating outside city government, because it's easier to get things approved and done. And just don't give up. I went out and got outside funding. Sometimes you have to do that.
Okay.
I've said I will never allow the fact that we don't have local money to stand in the way of doing what we know we ought to do and what we believe will work. And we've been pretty successful at that.
And I know you've got some great homegrown businesses down there in Memphis. How has the business community embraced this?
They're very supportive. Not that FedEx needs a plug from me, but...
We got the little FedEx hub here in Indianapolis now.
And keep it little. You don't need to grow any more up there. We'll take care of the growth down here. But the event Friday night at one of our local community centers, FedEx immediately stopped in and said, "Hey, we'll help fund that." So the community, the businesses are accepting it, and I think once they see that we're really onto something, we'll be able to institutionalize that support.
And I know, you know, Memphis is the home of the oldest black formatted radio station in the country, the legendary WDIA. You've got a great inspiration and praise station, Hallelujah, in Memphis, and that's my the folks at Clear Channel, and they're partnering with you guys.
Oh yes, they are. We had back in the spring a really successful Gas for Guns event. Clear Channel was one of our sponsors on that. We actually ran out of money. Folks were bringing in so many guns. And by the way,
these were real guns.
These weren't old muskets and cap pistols. folks were bringing. A lot of times, folks criticize the gun buyback program because folks come in with a BB gun and an old musket or something like that.
Oh, they was bringing in real weapons.
They bringing in the heavy, hot stuff. Again, that's nothing to be proud of in the sense that this stuff was on our streets. But, hey, look, that's one less weapon that can be used against some young black boy or black girl or in a robbery or whatever.
And the
reason I put a racial thing on it is we know where the deaths are occurring. We just have to be straight up about that. We can't beat around the bush because these are black kids killing black kids.
And, Mayor, this was Gas for Guns?
Gas for Guns. Look, gasoline is high.
Nope.
So we want, what do people really want? You can't get gas on your SNAP card, or what, your EBT card, rather.
Right.
So we went to, what do people really need? And so it was very, very attractive.
In talking to your staff, and I appreciated the generosity of time of your chief of staff to kind of, you know, break what you guys were doing. And I know that you had a great coordinator, and you tragically lost that person. God, I guess, needed a better coordinator up in heaven.
Yeah, Peggy Bohannon. Oddly enough, I hired her as an assistant public defender. I knew then that she had a real affinity for getting inside the souls and minds of the young folks she was representing, and she brought that those same characteristics and ability to care into this program. She personalized and internalized the program, but we're going to pick up and roll on from there. By the way, if I might just go back to the fact that you really got to focus on youth. And there are so many programs we have going. We have component known as Memphis Youth Work, which gets them ready in terms of job readiness skills. So many of these young folks say, I want a job. Nobody will hire me. Gee whiz. Let's be honest. They've never worked. They have no skill. They're going to get turned down. Then they get all depressed and all, and then they're back into crime or gangbanging or whatever. So we're working with that. We have a program that we use in conjunction with our Memphis City Schools called GRASSY, G-R-A-S-S-Y, Gang Reduction Assistance for Saving Society's Youth. Again, that helps us sometimes when a child commits an infraction on school grounds. The traditional way is they take a ride to juvenile court. They used to have a saying here among the officers, you might beat the rap, but you won't beat the ride. So we've worked out programs where they do not necessarily have to be transported into the court system. Sometimes that emboldens our young folks. They become a hero. Why? Because their peers see them being hauled off, and 12 hours later they're back on the street. Guess what? They strong then. They powerful. They beat the system. So we found out that it's better to keep them out of the system. Don't let them penetrate that system at all. And our Safe Summer program, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Midnight basketball, summer night lights. And one other thing we're doing. Let me tell you, Amos, I've got six sons, four grandsons. You ever leave a half gallon of milk at home with a 14-year-old boy and come back? The point I make is, look, these kids are going to get hungry during the summertime.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to eat. They're not going to starve. And far too often, they get hooked up with the wrong crowd. They don't leave home with the intention of getting into something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, hey, let's go to Mickey D's, knowing there are five of them, only two of them have money. Something's going to happen. They didn't go there intending that, but something happens. So we've got a summer lunch program,
right.
A hot meal. Last count I had, we're serving about 12,000 a day. And I call it a meal and a message. They don't just run in there and grab a brown paper sack and head out. Something inspirational is going to happen while they're there. The point I make is this. If you were to ask me, man, what kind of program do you have? We don't have a program as such, but we have the component parts of a system. The bottom line is that what works for one group on one side of town will not work for the other group. What works this summer will not work next summer. So the key is to be broad, comprehensive, be agile, nimble, so you can change. Look, let me tell you.
Yes, sir.
You have so many times, it depends on what song is the hottest song. Will tell you what kind of conduct you're going to have in the streets out there. It may be the style of dress. So you've got to be nimble. You cannot simply say, here is the program. We will kick it off on May 15th. We will do the same thing every day at the same time until school starts. You can't do that. Music changes. Drugs change. Weapons change. Dress change. These flash mobs. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. So the key is to keep your ears to the ground.
I can tell you're in the streets, Mayor.
Well, I was a criminal defense lawyer for a whole bunch of time. Quite frankly, ain't much changed out there. Sometimes I try to tell these young folks, they look at my gray hair and they say, what does that old man know? Look, I tell them, hasn't anything changed out there? It's basically the same old element. And then the key, though, is to be broad-based in terms of your offerings, but to be agile, nimble, ready to change at moment's notice if you have to.
And has it impacted your crime? I mean, we're sitting here with a 50% increase in criminal homicides this year. We're looking at possibly hitting a record that we haven't hit since 2006. We're looking at possibly hitting a record of just African-American homicides that we haven't hit since the middle 1990s. Has this effort, even though you kind of just started out, has it made any difference?
Let me tell you, we're not ready to declare a success, but I have a review every month. I mean, in detail. I drill down deeply. I'm seeing some numbers that look really great. Mm-hmm. We're not ready to declare success yet, but it is very promising. I will tell you that. And you might say, well, why is this guy so reluctant? Let me tell you this. Things can explode so quickly.
Got that right.
In our urban neighborhoods. One guy who's been in prison, who gets out on parole or flattens his time, simply that one person hitting the streets can start a drug war. Mm-hmm. Because he comes back in, he wants to reclaim his turf. So this is why we are a little hesitant about saying, man, we have hit all of the right nails and we've got everything covered. But what we've done so far looks promising. One thing about it is we can't go wrong with the things we're doing. It can only get better. You have to be bold. You have to be of the conviction that what we're doing is not working, and we have got to try something else. And from just the anecdotal information, and we have a real professional who is charting our information, but there's some more sophisticated analysis we have to do.
Right.
The specialists out there will know what I mean by regression analysis. Ooh. We have to be able to rule out some other, all other factors. I mean, sometimes you have to be careful. You might declare success in a given area, but you go back and find out that the reason things have changed is because they closed down a housing development. Hell, it ain't nobody there. It can't be any crime there. So you have to make sure you rule out things before you declare victory. But again, everything is promising. I'm convinced. I've been around a long time that this is going to make a big, big difference. One other thing,
yes, sir,
is that we've got really great partners here, mm-hmm, consistent with our philosophy that this is not merely a police prosecutor matter. We've partnered up with our public hospital here called the Regional Medical Center, the MED, mm-hmm, for short.
Right.
And we have a hospital intervention program there. Again, as a defense lawyer, it's really amazing, Amos, that you'll have some guy strapped to a gurney with needles in his arm and on life support, and as opposed to asking how is he doing, the first thing out of his mouth once he's able to talk is he and his posse are going to get the folks who did it. Retaliation, retaliation. That's a good place to try to break that cycle.
Right.
So we've partnered with our local public hospital, the MED, and they funded it, by the way, the MED Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have what we call interventionists working right there in the emergency room. So when that stuff about retaliation starts out, they'll step up and say, hey, wait, little brother, there's another way to do this. Look, that's not going to help anything. That's just another one of the components that underscores the need for touching all your bases on, and that's precisely what we're doing. You got to have good partners.
Mayor A.C. Wharton, it has been, first of all, it's an honor and privilege, and I know how busy mayors of major American cities are, and I'm really appreciative of you taking a bit out of your schedule to share with us the great things that you're doing in Memphis, and that hopefully that will inspire us here in Indianapolis you said it best, you know, look at it comprehensively, but what might work in our Brightwood neighborhood may not work in Pike Township. What might work in on the South Side may not work on the Far East Side. But understand what's going on and get youth involved and get the community involved. And you guys are doing a mighty work down there. And just as we started the interview, our congressperson, Andre Carson, kind of surprised me and snuck in, and he's kind of been listening in the background, going in amen corner in what you are trying to do. So I know he's going to communicate to your great members of Congress that represent Memphis in what you're doing. And you do not be surprised if you hear from folks from Indianapolis calling your staff and picking your brains, because I'm really impressed of talking to any mayor that knows what's going on in their city.
Listen, thanks for allowing us to chat with you. Best to your great congressman there. And anytime any folks up that way want to share with us, give us a call, come down and visit with us. We'll give them that good, great Memphis barbecue and also share with what we're doing. And we can learn from what you might be doing up in your great hometown.
All right, thank you. Mayor A.C. Wharton, the mayor of the city of Blues, the city of Elvis, the city of them Grizzlies that's going to win it all in the West, because we don't want Kobe to win nothing more anymore. Mayor A.C. Wharton, thank you very, very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, Congressman, that is very impressive. And you were looking at the website earlier in what they're doing in Memphis, and what struck me was the stories of young people and they just roll up in a neighborhood,
roll up
and do something. I know you've been concerned about this rising level of violence. Maybe we've got to start learning best practices. Maybe there's help that the CBC can provide this city, that we can't stand on ceremony and say, okay, we know all the answers in Indianapolis.
I love what the mayor's doing. I'm okay with the roll up. Just like I rolled up in the studio today unannounced. I'm okay with the roll up. I roll up in barbershops and community centers all the time. But I do want to say there's a lot of great work being done in Memphis that we could replicate. I applaud the mayor for that. My family's from Humboldt, Tennessee. But I applaud the mayor for that. I see good work like that being done at Forest Manor with Sister Regina Marsh and at the Christian Moore House and a lot of good other places. But, Amos, we had a call last night, a national call.
Yeah.
I hope you were on that call, dealing with the Trayvon Martin verdict.
And I want you to hold that thought, because
yes,
I'm going to break for commercials.
Let's
then we're going to come back
and find out what's
national, because we're hearing a bunch of stuff. It's After News with Amos. You just heard what Memphis is doing. Our congressman was hearing. I bet everybody going to start calling the mayor of Memphis saying, what y'all?
I love it.
Wait a minute. I like going, opening up the swimming pool. Can you imagine that in Indianapolis? Opening some of the swimming pools at night?
Yeah.
Y'all listen on the 25th floor. That was the mayor of Memphis I was talking. And who understood the streets. That's what got me.
That's my kind
of mayor that understands the street. Anyway, it's After News with Davis after these.